Blog Talk Radio.
They cutting off welfare. They think crime is rising there. You got white killing black. Cops killing black. And black killing black. Shit just gonna get worse. Bitch gonna come something. Straight soldier. All you want to be. A soldier. A soldier. All you want to be. A soldier. Like me. All you want to be. A soldier. A soldier. All you want to be. A soldier like me, all you want to be. A soldier, a soldier, all you want to be. A soldier, a soldier, all you want to be. A soldier, a soldier, all you want to be. A soldier like me. Cracked and took apart my family tree. My mama's on this shit, my daddy's quitting. Mama's steady blaming me. Is it my fault just cause I'm a young black male? Cops sweating me as if my destiny is making crack sales. Only 15 and got problems. Cops on my tail, so I bail till I dodge them. They finally pulled me over and I laugh. Remember Rodney King and I blast on this punk ass. Now I got a murder case. You speak of heaven, punk? I never heard of the place. What is it coming fast? Got a ooze in the black mask. Sucking fucking fast. Down with the jackass, keep my shit cop, cause the cops got a Glock too. What the fuck would you do? Drop him or let him drop you? I chose dropping the cop. I got me a Glock and a Glock for the niggas on my block. Mama tried to stab me, I moved out. Sold a pound of weed, made G for the new house. I'm only 17, I'm the new kid. Got me a tool for the juice and a ooze thing. But all good things don't last. Half came back and busted my black ass. Cooling in the pit where the good got. Now my little brother wants to follow with my footsteps.
All I want to do is a soldier, a soldier. All I want to do is a soldier.
A soldier, 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 a sold because what he said affects all of us. He said something that really hit home about this phenomena of chemtrails. And, you know, when I was a kid, I used to see these trails in the sky all the time. And so that's cool. The jet just moved. Then you started to see a whole bunch of them. And the next thing you know, everybody in your neighborhood was fighting and arguing, and you didn't know why. Okay, and you really didn't know why. I mean, everybody was fighting. So he started riffing about the chemtrails. And he started to say things that hit home so hard, and I would recommend that everybody try to get what he said online or wherever and try to get a copy of it and just listen to it, because I was so moved that I had to write the song. The other thing is the first line of the song says I was born on the same plantation in the United States of the Red, White, and Blue, and we live in a place now that feels just about like a plantation. We're all indentured servants, you know. When I found out there were 8 presidents before George Washington, I wanted to smack somebody. You know, I wanted to know why I was taught otherwise. Just tell me the whole story. I'll fill in the blanks, but don't tell me something that you think I'm supposed to know.
We're indentured servants and we got a black president now.
Well, I don't vote. I have nothing to do with it. I got no dog in that race.
And for those who would cuss me out and slap me in person, if I didn't ask you why?
Well, the reason why is because I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we've never voted. And that's not to say that I don't think Barack Obama, President Obama, is a very smart individual, and he seems like he means well. Prophecy is what we all have to go by now. It's very interesting. I did a sold-out concert in London. We played 21 nights in a row, and all the concerts were sold out. When I would watch television over there, and you'd see the United Nations feed, the direct feed from the United Nations, you'd hear them talk a lot about religion. You'd hear the Bible mentioned constantly. This is not what we're used to in the United States. It's almost as though there's no need for God and no need for religion and justice in politics. So there's supposed to be a separation of church and state over here. We can't have a separation of state and morality, though. And, you know, songs like Dreamer and even Feel Good, it's the same thing.
Let me, I got good news and bad news. The bad news first, it's not like ending on good news. The bad news is I'm out of time for this show. The good news is I think that if I lean on my friendship, I might be able to get Prince to stick around for like another 12 minutes. And if you tune into this program tomorrow night, we can finish our conversation with It's Never Over, but we'll continue it. Talking about these other 3 songs from the new CD, Lotus Flower, at lotusflower.com. You can get, I want to ask you about these other 3 songs tomorrow night, and then this fine artist that we referenced earlier, you can take mine anywhere, you won't take it. This fine artist you referenced earlier in this conversation, Priya Valente.
Oh?
Yes. Priya will join us tomorrow night as well. So
now
tomorrow night. Yeah, now we talk. So tomorrow night, part 2 of our conversation with Prince, and Priya Valente with us tomorrow night as well. She's one of the 3 CDs in this new Lotus Flower package of 3 CDs. Prince, thank you for coming on. Thank you.
And Black Power. Black power and more black power to my people. It's your brother, Soldier in Arms, that comrade in battle, Shah Saddam Kweli. And I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from here in the hills and smells of North America. Right here in the hills and smells of North America. As always, it's a privilege, it's a joy, it's an honor, it's an esteemed pleasure to be able to talk to you. My revolutionary, bold, informative radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. And we're not here to play with you. I definitely didn't invite you to waste your time. We got to get into some serious business and talk some serious business tonight, as there's some evil plans that's unfolding against our people. and not on the behalf of our people. At the beginning of the show, top of the hour, you heard from Tupac Shakur, the Warrior Soldier, and the voice you just heard was from the artist formerly known as Prince, or still might be Prince, based upon how he's feeling. But that was Prince Rogers Nelson, as he's known, talking about chemtrails and what he saw as a young boy. And he was on Savage Smiley show, and he was talking about why the chemtrails, or how the chemtrails, the chemicals that are in the sky, how they cause people in his neighborhood to start fighting. He said, for unknown reasons, he said after the chemtrails came through, the people in his neighborhood would start fighting. And couldn't nobody figure out why. Nobody had discussed why. Nobody had an explanation why the people in his area, I mean, he was born in Minnesota or raised in Minnesota, why the people in his area would fight each other. Our people, black people, why we would fight one another. Interesting point. We want to talk about this new scare, this new thing, quote-unquote new thing, that's now on the shores of America, called the Ebola virus. We want to talk about the World Health Organization, or WHO, as they call it, and their role in it. We want to talk about these plans for depopulation. Who's being depopulated? Why are we being depopulated? And what it means to you and me here in America, now that this doctor has been brought here to the country infected with Ebola. And I'm here to say that he's not the first one. He's one of many. I want to be clear. He's not this Dr. Kent Brantley. That's his name, so that you can research it. Dr. Kent Brantley is not the only one who has been infected with this Ebola virus. There are others who are here and others that are on the way. But this Dr. Kent Brantley and one other woman have made headlines all across the country and really all across the world, because he was supposed to be on some kind of missionary mission. Now, when I say missionary mission, as just like the old days where the Caucasian people would go into the indigenous lands on a particular colonization mission and take over the land through different means. Some use religious means, others use what he used, healthcare means. Others set up bases and trade ports. But whenever you see these missionaries, red flags should go up, especially as African people or Africans in America. Red flags should go up because you understand all too well the encounters with missionaries mean. Now, this Kent Brantley and this woman named Nancy Wrightbro, they are being posterized all around the country as the new victims of Ebola, and now they have what they call experimental drugs, or untested, quote-unquote approved drugs that they're supposed to be using, that's supposed to offset or derail or debunk these symptoms given by this Ebola virus. According to the reports, Brantley woke up on July 22nd feeling feverish. So he had isolated himself and the woman, right, Balls, symptoms, say, started 3 days later, on the 25th. So they took a blood test. And the blood test, the field blood test, confirmed that both of them were infected. They both had become ill with fever, reportedly. They both were vomiting. Both had diarrhea. They both were believed to work with an organization called Samaritan's Purse, supposed to be an aid organization, again, a missionary organization, white missionary organization, predominantly. Contracted Ebola, they say, from another healthcare worker at the hospital in Liberia. Although this stuff, from what I'm understanding, from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, that stuff, a lot of that stuff hasn't been released yet. Says as their condition worsened, the Samaritan's Purse reached out to a National Institute of Health scientist who was on the ground in West Africa, according to the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Scientist was able to informally answer some of the questions and refer them to appropriate company contacts to pursue their interest in obtaining this experimental product. This experimental drug known as ZMAP, developed by the biotech firm MAP Biopharmaceutical Incorporated, based out of San Diego. The patients were told that the treatment had never been tried before in a human being or in mankind, but had shown some kind of promise with small monkeys. Now here we go with the small monkeys. Now, it reads that they were aware of the risk and everything associated, but they took the drug. They took it, and now it's reported that allegedly that the experimental drugs were supposed to be the reason why, allegedly now, that they had their lives saved. And this is the latest report on this Brantley and Wrightball, that they had likely been saved by this experimental drug. Now, why is this important? This is important because as these outbreaks break out in the country, they're going to ask you and ask me and ask us to give our trust and to basically say and to basically report that since Brantley and others allegedly were saved by this new experimental drug, that you yourself should be not so wary and you should take the drug yourself. Now, this is very important because as we look at what's happening in West Africa, you can clearly see that, according to reports, I don't know if exaggerated or not, but just according to reports, that the Ebola virus is rapidly spreading through West Africa. They say it was detected in March, and the number of suspected and confirmed cases attributed to Ebola in the West African nations of Liberia and Sierra Leone and Guinea and Nigeria stands at 1,603, including 887 deaths. So 1,603 confirmed cases, out of which 887 have died. World Health Organization or WHO reports of 163 new Ebola cases already in 61 new deaths. Now this is what's happening on the mother continent. A second worker from America, they say, was infected. So, I mean, this stuff is heating up. It's my point, what I'm telling you. And what's being reported in the news, of course, like you know, like I know, what's being reported in the news is not the full story. Not the full story at all. I don't care what Samaritan's Purse says or any of them say. When this type of stuff happens, they immediately go into what's called damage control mode. They immediately go into PR mode to keep down the panic, to keep down the fear, to keep down what's happening. But you better understand this very clearly, family, and anybody listening to me. You better understand this very well, that when you hear of a case like Ebola on the ground, allegedly Ebola on the ground now in Atlanta, Georgia, and who knows where else, some very, very serious, serious times that you're living in and that we're living in. This man flown via a medical evacuation plane, and taken into, listen to me good, taken into Dobbins Air Force Base in Georgia. That was Saturday, allegedly at 11:20, straight from what they call the hot zone. And this Brantley, Kent Brantley, is being held as a devout Christian, 33 years old, and a missionary. Now, this is important because facts and statistics have just been released just a few days ago. I was reading the report where it said that new cases of HIV infections and quote-unquote AIDS-related death were down all throughout America. Before it just came out, you can see it all over the place. HIV, the reports, according to the CDC, Center for Disease Control, down. AIDS reports, down. And then, in what seems like almost out of the blue, comes this massive case now of Ebola. And now you have an infected doctor, I want to be clear, who was taken from the place where he allegedly was infected from and brought to the shores of North America. You better draw some parallels here. Now, tests are being run. They're saying allegedly that he's making improvement and that they're making improvement. But now we have to look at, let's get away from this so-called doctor. Get away from him. Let's look at the brothers and sisters on the mother continent of Africa who are not receiving the same kind of treatment, and who are not receiving the same kind of international fanfare, who are not receiving the same kind of attention, and they're just another number in the statistic. Let's look at it good. Doctors over there, Nigerian doctors and those in Lagos, over there falling victim to this virus. He was, from what I read today, the second confirmed case in Africa's, one of Africa's largest cities, right there. Health Minister Onyebuchi, his name, confirmed the positive test that 70 other people were believed to have come into contact with them, and now being quarantined, including three who they said, quote unquote, symptomatic. So the confirmed case is one of the doctors who attended the Liberian Ebola patient who died. I'm going to say that again. The confirmed case that they have is one of the doctors who attended to a Liberian Ebola patient who died. That's what Dr. Chikwu told the journalists. They set up a quarantine unit in Lagos, and blood tests from three people displaying Ebola-like symptoms have been sent for testing. A guy named Patrick Sawyer, Patrick Sawyer, who worked for Liberia's finance ministry, contracted the virus from his sister before traveling to Lagos for a meeting of West African officials. So this Patrick Sawyer, who worked for Liberia's finance ministry, contracted the virus from his sister before even traveling to Lagos. Once in Lagos, affects others, and others become sick. He landed in Lagos on July 20th from Monrovia after switching planes in Togo's capital, Lome. They say he was visibly sick upon arrival and taken directly to the First Consultants Hospital in the upmarket Lagos neighborhood. He died in quarantine. This Patrick Sawyer died in quarantine on July the 25th. The hospital was closed indefinitely last week. The second confirmed case in Nigeria is the latest in the deadliest ever Ebola outbreak, they say, which has infected 1,603 people and left 887 dead, according to the World Health Organization. The other cases are spread across Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Nigeria, the latest country to import the disease, has had up to four cases, which are classified as probable Ebola, and one as suspected, is what WHO said on Monday. So let's look at what's going on now. As we talked, we heard Prince in the beginning talk about chemtrails in the sky in America, and that he saw as a little boy. And I know that many of you listening have seen, probably today, you don't know what a chemtrail is. It's not like a cloud in the sky. There are streaks of white lines that stay in the sky that are sprayed up there like an exhaust from little jet planes with little bitty systems on the side of the plane. Some of you believed that these planes going across the sky, like it was just some type of exhaust coming from the plane traveling somewhere. But these are specialized planes. You can Google them. You can see the images. They have nozzles on the side of them. They have chemical vials, big chemical vials that are inside the planes, kind of similar to how certain planes and certain equipment sprays farms, or how certain equipment that deals with wildfire sprays water. These particular planes spray chemicals, and these chemicals are said to be very toxic and very, very intrusive into the body. hard to detect. It's not like you would smell anything funny in the air. Sometimes you might. But when the chemicals get into your body, they do funny things like make cancer in the body, like mess with your blood in the body, like cause behavioral issues in the people. So when you hear Prince at the beginning talking about the people in his neighborhood fighting because of chemtrails, he's not giving you conspiracy theory. He's giving you something that has been proven as actual fact. This and other things, this Ebola, this HIV and AIDS and chemtrails and other things, it's a part of what's called a depopulation plan. I know some of you say that, come on, come on, Brother Kweli, come on now. I can go along with some of that stuff that you're talking about, but you're telling me a depopulation plan? Absolutely. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. When you look at it, and this isn't about being angry or being hateful, these are just the facts. When you look at it, Africa is being called right now the world's booming nation, booming continent. Booming nations all over Africa. It's a booming continent. All kinds of babies and people populating the continent. All kinds of mineral resources permeating through the continent. All kinds of economic opportunities on the continent. Yet when you look at Europe, yet when you look at what the statistics call the Caucasian birth rate, it is at what's considered a zero birth rate, or some say a negative birth rate. What that means is, for example, with Africa, you might have one or two or three or four babies being born at a time, five or six born at a time or more. But then when you look at Europe and look at the Caucasians' negative birth rate, you get to one being born and then one dying. One being born in and one dying, which keeps them at that negative birth rate. And so since we're a melanated people and we already outnumber them as a world majority, maybe not within the country just yet, but as a world majority, the aims and plans of those at the top, and when I say the top, I'm not just speaking of the President Obama, who they tell me is celebrating a birthday today somewhere. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about even those above him in what they call the shadows, bankers, the real neoconservatives, the real Zionists, the real powers that run the government of this country and run the leadership in the political arena. When you get to that level, you're talking about those who are deeply invested in the ways of the past and the white supremacist ideology of keeping their people in power and in check, keeping their people in tow, keeping their people on the top. Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, former national chairman and Black Power general, would say that everywhere that he went in the world where the black-white dynamic exists, he would say that he would see the white or light skin on the top, and the black or the dark skin on the bottom. That's not by default, that's by design. Same thing that happened in the Rhodesian years and other years with apartheid in Africa. It's a system, it's systematic, where the idea and ideology of white power and white supremacy has to exist even amongst the darker peoples or the dark people, the melanated people of the planet. So we outnumber them, some say 11 to 1, some say 12 to 1, as a world majority. And in order to maintain rulership, in order to maintain the illusion of supremacy and domination and the systematic fluctuation of colonization, which means to overtake a landmass or overtake a people and their culture and their politics and their spiritualities with your own, forcing and invading yourself on them and making them convert forcefully or by choice against their will to your ways and your cultures and your stereotypes, your norms and folk ways. Getting back into this missionary thing with this Dr. Brantley. The idea of colonization and the idea of white supremacy is the dominant driving force of not only America, but it's the dominant driving force of Israel, the dominant driving force of Europe, the dominant driving force of Germany, the dominant driving force of all of the Caucasian nations. So today, right now as we're talking, right now in Washington, D.C., there's a summit going on that our national chairman was trying his best to get to and report to you from. Right now as we're talking, a summit, 50 heads of state in Washington, D.C. right now, 50 African heads of state right now in the White House, because President Barack Obama taking a lot of heat for his neglect, they say, of Africa, taking a lot of heat for his neglect in general of black people. And so they have organized a African summit. And they are trying to evade the issues and the questions on whether this meeting is in response to the influence, or I say even the colonization and gentrification on the continent of Africa concerning Chinese people, the Chinese influence or land grab, the better political term, for Africa and what's happening in Africa. See, everybody wants a piece of Africa, but the African in America. Everybody across the world is interested in what's going on your mother continent, except for the African who is here in America, who is more invested in the politics and day-to-day operations of America than interested in the international affairs of his and her own mother continent. You say, well, I was born here. But you're not treated like you were born here in many instances, in most instances. We're still fighting, and many of you and us still fighting for civil rights and still fighting for human rights, because we have not answered the revolutionary question of complete constructive change amongst our own people. The United States will announce nearly a $1 billion business deal. $1 billion in business deals, increased funding for what they call peacekeeping, and commit billions of dollars to expand food and power programs in Africa during a summit or during the summit this week. U.S. officials have said in Washington of nearly 50 African leaders hopes to showcase U.S. interest in the continent through a series of government-private partnership deals to boost trade and investment. They say the spread of the deadly Ebola virus in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone is also a reminder of the fast development needs that persist in some of the continent's poorest countries, despite rapid economic growth and investment. Pay attention to that line. There's rapid economic growth in Africa. Rapid investment growth in Africa. Now you have the spread of one of the most deadliest viruses, Ebola, eating up Africa. Administration officials have played down questions on whether the summit is in response to China's growing presence in the continent. Instead, they say American interests go beyond Africa's oil and minerals, areas on which some say China is focused. You will see a series of announcements on agriculture and food and power and energy. Raviv Shah, the administrator of U.S. Agency for International Development, told Reuters, we will make big announcements that demonstrate these are big ambitions we can take on with our African partners and the private sector. We will make big announcements that demonstrate these are big ambitions we can take on with our African partners in the private sector. Shah said there will be new support for Power Africa, a privately funded program launched by President Barack Obama last year to install 10,000 megawatts of new generation capacity and connect 20 million new customers across Africa by 2018. Shah said while companies pledged $7 billion to the program last year, next week there will be several billions of dollars in new investments. The World Bank is also expected to make a major contribution, according to the bank officials. The program is also likely to be expanded from the six nations of Ethiopia, Kenya, Ghana, Liberia, Nigeria, and Tanzania that are currently included. There will also be significant increases in the private sector support for U.S.-backed food and agricultural programs in Africa, including the new Alliance for Food Security and Nutrition, U.S. development officials said. Donald Kibuka, president of the African Development Bank, said the summit represented a shift in U.S.-African relationship from a focus on aid to investment in trade. There are still bits of aid needed here or there, but fundamentally, the relationship is now defined as one of trade, investment, growth, and opportunities, the broker told Reuters. It responds to what Africans are looking for and responds to expectations of American business. The summit will include and is including a business conference on Tuesday. That's tomorrow, bringing together African leaders and American CEOs. In other funding increases, the State Department is expected to announce a further $60 million a year for peacekeeping, training, and in six African countries, according to U.S. officials. Now, let's look at it. We got to get your comments on all of this. This is some heavy, heavy stuff. Number to call, 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. When you're talking about U.S. peacekeeping missions, look at the peacekeeping mission in Iraq. Talk to me now. Look at the peacekeeping mission in Afghanistan. Look at the peacekeeping efforts in Egypt. Look at the peacekeeping efforts right now in Palestine. Anywhere where the U.S. interest, the fascist, the imperialist go, the war machine goes, violence erupts in this peacekeeping effort. Military complexes develop. military presence develops, increases, and it becomes a grab for the land and an occupation of the people, so that the CEOs, as it mentioned, the bankers, the business people, the capitalists of America can snatch the land and build up the land and take the land from the people and control the resource just like they do here in America. Look at it. Look at Libya after Muammar Gaddafi and the peacekeeping, quote-unquote peacekeeping efforts there. Libya in total chaos, total rebellion. A people who had free education and free health care and other things that were free because they were natural citizens to Libya, through a bloodless revolution of Colonel Gaddafi, now have to pay high tax, high interest, high cost, high casualty because of the so-called peacekeeping efforts of a war machine, of a bloodthirsty capitalist empire that has spread its tentacles all across the world and has a vested interest in Africa. This is, we're talking about a $7 billion pledge and other pledges to come in by the World Bank and others. You know that they ain't talking about no pro-black liberation for Africa. We're talking about AFRICOM. Talking about private interests, private investors. We're talking about private sectors taking over Africa, running Africa like a real corporation, just like Wall Street. And you better not forget that the first thing to be traded on Wall Street were black people, African slaves. We was the first. Wasn't no stocks, wasn't no bonds. We were the stocks and the bonds that were being traded, that developed into a revenue service, human trafficking, developed into a revenue service that America feeds on to this very minute. And now you have it in Africa. And now you have an outbreak of Ebola that is being heightened again as it began to pop up in the 2000s. See, if you do your research, to all you ministers of information out there in the new Black Panther Party, if you do your research, you will find and understand real quick that this didn't just start for 2014. This was going on as early as the year 2000, as President Mbeki and others were fighting against outbreaks of Ebola back in 2000 and telling you then that the Ebola outbreaks that they were fighting in their country was man-made. And they believed, that they said, and you can look, it's on record, they believed that the CIA of America had helped to increase the Ebola outbreaks in their country. I'm not making this up. They said it. Fast forward to 2014. And now this increase in Ebola and this decrease of HIV and AIDS-related cases. Think about it. What happened if you think that that's too far out? What happened with the Tuskegee experiments? Did you have a whole people, black people again, unbeknownst, unknowing, that they're taking what's called trial vaccinations? Understand, see, you got to understand these vaccines. Understand this experimental drugs I was telling you about in the beginning. Hey, people who, unbeknownst to them, are taking these trial vaccines and trial vaccinations for a few dollars, answering ads in the papers and agreeing to do it and other things. Some going to the doctor, getting treated for one thing, and getting hit with these vaccines and syphilis and other things being put into our people. No information given to them about what was put in them. And they were watched like guinea pigs, like trial monkeys, to see how their bodies responded to the vaccination and the poison and the biological warfare that was targeted at our people. Same thing going on here in West Africa. Same thing that's taking place in America. You be careful answering these ads, these little funny ads in the newspapers about trial basis and trial experimental drugs, and you'll get paid if you let us try some things out on you. Be careful with that, my people. In fact, don't do it at all. Because there's histories of governments, state powers, that have taken extreme measures to combat the growth of populations and to combat when populations get too low. During the reign of Joseph Stalin, if it got too low, Russia put a tax on childless people. That's what I said. To financially strong arm people to procreate to boost its low birth rate. See, they're paying white people to have babies. They're paying the white woman to take medicine that will double her eggs so she can have twins, have triplets, have quadruplets. And at the same time, they're paying black women and black men to take all your stuff out. No uterus, no eggs, no nothing. Implant something in your arm that will stop the birth rate. Clip yourself, black man, they tell you. Stop the sperm count. Do all kind of things to you to make you sterile so that you can't produce. Look, people will tell you in an instant, it's all conspiracy theory. And Brother Kweli and the new Black Panthers are crazy as hell. They're just crazy and full of hate. I don't hate you. I love you. I love my people. And I love the truth. And I love you enough to tell you the truth, knowing that I study history and we study history. And we understand what's really happening out here. It's a depopulation of melanated people. Moving from that, holding to that as I go to your calls. But looking at that whole instance and now looking at what's happening in Palestine and how the increase of fighting of Israeli aggression against the Palestinian people, once again, to take the landmass. Now, some of you say, well, what does it have to do with us? We Africans. We Africans in America. We black people. We got our own fight. You got to understand our program as given to us by the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, as taught to us by our National Chairman Hashim Nzinga. You got to understand what's going on. As we tell you in our program, that the same rabbit dog that bites them bites us too. As the old saying goes, the enemy of my enemy is my brother, or something like that. My enemy's enemy, or the enemy of my brother is my enemy, or something like that. Y'all can correct me, but y'all know what I'm saying. We got the same enemy, is what I'm saying. The same enemy. The same aggression that the Israelis are pushing forward is backed by U.S. imperialist policy and power, U.S. foreign power. You saw the video with Hillary Clinton and others who were not in agreement about the slaughter of the Palestinian people. And I want to be clear when I say that there are black people, Africans, dark people in Palestine. If you don't travel, you don't know. You don't study, you don't know. It's not just light-skinned Palestinian people. We're talking about dark-skinned, blue-black Palestinian people in that region who are also being affected by Israeli aggression. Rockets, bombs, mortars, children being blown up. I done seen pictures and video of children with their whole skull blown off. But all you hear about on this side, in this soil, is what's being done to Israel. how they're hurting Israel, the casualties on the Israeli side. And Israel is an occupying territory. I read a report the other day where they were saying that Israel, the criminal, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad called it, the criminal settler colony of Israel, Sphinx, Palestine. That's what I said. Sphinx, Palestine. I think it say somewhere 40-something percent, maybe more. But if you look at the maps, yeah, 40%. If you look at the maps of since Israel was established, this criminal settler state occupying territory of Israel, when you look at it, it has shrinked the land of Palestine by 40%. They've created what's called a no man's land in Gaza. And to protect itself, you're talking about a people who are fighting against rockets, fighting against underground tunnels. Talking about a people who, to protect themselves, have rocks sometimes, slingshots sometimes, crude weapons sometimes, fighting against an army that is financed and backed by not only America, but NATO and others. What does this mean for us? This means that when you look at places like Harlem, New York, for example, when you look at California, you look at other areas that are being gentrified, that means that the areas that were once black or melanated, that they're all being shrunk. Studied something the other day, read something the other day where it said, I think there are now maybe 40 black bookstores left in America. I'm going to get that actual fact in a few moments. I think it's somewhere of 40 black bookstores left in the entire country of America. How is this possible? How is this possible? I think it's maybe like 40 or 50 black bookstores left in America. How is that possible? All the books, all the history, all the time that we have put into our works in America and other places, now you're talking about maybe 40 to 50 all across the country. And you know, like I know, black businesses are drying up like an old pond in America. Drying up. It's gentrification. It's aggression. And it's happening not only in America, but throughout the world. Depopulation. But we got to talk about what to do. The new Black Panther Party has some suggestions and is willing to entertain some suggestions. We have to, from the new Black Panther Party perspective, we have to take health in this hour very seriously. That's anybody. You don't have to be a new Black Panther member to consider that. It's anybody. If you're trying to survive in this hour, you must take health very seriously in this hour. We're talking about self-defense, part of our title as an organization, a political party. A revolutionary vanguard is the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. But you must also consider and analyze health defense. When these beasts have unleashed Ebola on you, unleashed chemtrails on us, and we wonder why we're coughing, hacking, can't breathe, can't go up a flight of steps, can't go around the block without blood pressure getting high, arthritis kicking in, all kind of stuff happening to us. It's because we have a slave diet in 2014. report just came out that said most of our health issues as a people is related to our dietary and the way that we eat. I'm talking to Muslims, Christians, Hebrews, Buddhists, atheists, agnostic, Rastafarians, talking to whoever, revolutionaries, New Black Panther Party, not New Black Panther Party, Pan-Africanists, Black Nationalists, Revolutionary Nationalists, none of the above, just black man, black woman, African, whoever, whatever, more, whatever. I'm talking about our dietary. All kinds of super fried foods, greasy foods, too many starches, too many white refined sugars, too much pork byproduct all in the food, non-kosher, non-properly prepared, pork itself, all kind of trichinosis worms, microscopic worms, in the blood, dormant in the blood, traveling to the brain, to the bloodstream, shutting your brain down, shutting your body down. Wonder why you're slow. Wonder why you can't soldier. Wonder why you can't make it to the street. Wonder why you can't go after your people and do the work. Diet's messed up. Not enough fiber. Not enough vitamins. Not enough nutrients. Not enough vegetables. Not enough fruit. No fasting. No detox, no cleansing, no colon cleanse, no kidney cleanse, no intestinal cleanse, no throat cleanse. Stuff all in the teeth, all in the gum line. All kind of perm and process in the hair seeping down into the brain, into your brain line, into the main line, into the bloodstream. All kind of fillings in the teeth and the mouth. Aluminum in the mouth, aluminum in the blood, drinking out all kind of cans, eating from all kind of cans, all kind of mercury, poisoning, arsenic, poisoning, cigarette smoke, all kind of this and that, but then scream revolution. The revolution starts with an internal complete constructive change to an external complete constructive change. And if we're serious about survival, we got to take health very seriously. Let me go to the phone lines. I know you want to get in here. I don't want to burn up this time. It's a hot topic here. We're talking about this crisis with this Ebola. Ebola. We're talking about the World Health Organization, depopulation. We're talking about from Palestine to Israel, talking about a lot of things, but the main thing we're talking about is what we're going to do to survive. Let's chime in on this. First caller here up, 646, area code 204, the first three of your number, 646-204. You're on live with me in Black Power Radio. Tell me your thoughts, comments, questions, or concerns.
What's up, Black Power? I ain't seen you in a minute,
hey,
man.
Brother Black
Power. With you, man.
Same old shit.
Yeah?
Was over there in Bryant Park, and I found out the movie was The Karate Kid. So I
yeah, but is that the old one or the new one?
The old one.
It's the old one. The
all right, somebody. So we'll come back to you. Next call, Eric Cole, 678-678-670. 678-670, you're on live. Black Power Radio, talking about depopulation and the plan to remove us from the planet. Talk to us, welcome in Black Power.
Black Power, brother, you can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to read this to you. I got this information off Dr. Aleem Abdul Muhammad's Twitter page, and you can go on there and check it for yourself. I found this quite interesting. Now, this is what it says. U.S. Bioweapons Lab in Sierra Leone and an epitrick of Ebola outbreak in 28, both U.S. Bioweapons Lab with links to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation at core of Ebola epidemic. CDC admits hospitals and vaccinations cause Ebola. UK and US mainstream media drool Ebola hysteria. The Telegraph hypes Ebola as a threat to Britain. Epidemic and pandemic plans allow for implementation of martial law and stunning piece of propaganda in the establishment newspaper, the Telegraph seems to be preparing the British public for a false flag Ebola outbreak in the Commonwealth Games started in Glasgow on July 23rd. And you get the white on the website. And another thing that says the Telegraph buries a key aspect of the story, the evidence that a U.S. bioweapons lab in Sierra Leone with links to the SARS and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is likely the origin of the current local people in West Africa appear to know without having to read the CDC Ebola fact sheet that hospitals and medical staff were spreading Ebola. The Telegraph reports people well denied surrounded a Red Cross vehicle in Guinea. The involvement of hospitals will also explain why Ebola has appeared in this part of Africa. You can hear me? You can still hear me? Hello? Brother. Hello? Brother Sean.
All right, listen, my bad. I was here with you, and my line had clicked off. But I heard you talking about, you said Bill Gates. I heard Bill Gates. I heard you talk about the vaccinations in the hospitals here in the country, right?
Oh, yes, sir. This is all connected. This is a report by some radical white crackers. And he's saying all this stuff is connected with Bill Gates and A. Holder Foundation, the CDC, the World Health, whatever them people is, they are connected one way or another, and they're spreading this stuff, and they're getting ready for martial law or a false flag operation. So, you know, they're on the panic and the hype of it to scare people, and, you know, just like they did with the Boston bomb, and they shut the city down, martial law. You ain't going nowhere. We kicking in doors and killing black folks. So black people, I recommend, you know, we be highly aware of what we taking in. The tap water is deadly. Get away from it. And you can still hear me? And the solution.
That's important. Look at what's happening right now in Ohio and in the areas of like Toledo, Cincinnati, Columbus, where they say that the water was completely toxic. Now, everybody got to hear this good. It's just a few days ago. The water completely toxic. And brothers and sisters on the ground, the people there couldn't drink the water at all. I mean, not even a little bit. Now they allegedly are saying, that the water is safe. But I wouldn't trust it. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't trust it.
This is not conspiracy theory. You got the King Afro Global 2000 report and the Jimmy Carter administration. You can look it up yourself. I know you want to hear some white folks, you know, back what we're saying, but, you know, you can go look it up, the Global 2000 report under the Jimmy Carter administration that did report that they want to curb 3 billion people off the face of the planet from so-called third world countries, which is nothing but black people or melanated people on the face of the planet, because they call us useless eaters, don't need us. And the solution I recommend real fast, I remember when I called in, I asked Brother Malik about separation. He brought up on strengthening ties with the Red Nation for us, what we can do for us, separation and other things we can do for us in separation now, because under the Red Nation, they already got some type of, it's a joke, but some type of level of sovereignty, and if we can connect with those brothers and sisters, I recommend we have an emergency summit with radical brothers and sisters from the Red Nation, like Sister Warrior Woman, and I know it's a brother with a Lakota nation. He went down to D.C. saying, we're not dealing with America no more. We our own nation. But you know what they did to that brother. He laughed at this guy. You can look that up. Lakota nation secession, you know, separation or something like that. But I recommend we have some type of summit with the brothers and sisters of the Red Nation that are knowing what this crack is doing, don't like the white man, and establish their own true sovereign nation where we can practice our cultures under a under our own sovereignty, but we can buy land for them and we can establish our own sovereignty, and, you know, then we can bring in our military, so we get to a point we're just going to buck the system completely. We don't need America. We don't want America. We're going to do our own thing. But, you know, I wanted to see how we can develop that as far as an emergency summit. And behind doors, we ain't going to let the media know what we're doing. Behind closed doors, well, radical brothers and sisters from the Red Nation. What do you think about
that? I'm with it. And I know that Sister Warrior Woman, if she listens, I know she with it. I know that Chief Ernie Long Walker, he with it. I know that Sister Yanaja Hobb, she listening, she with it. I mean, I know that they with it.
We got to
be organized. Let's go. I mean, basically, it's a cold red and a cold black. Because I've seen that information about Bill Gates, and I know a lot of our people fantasize about being Bill Gates, and if we only had the kind of money Bill Gates had. But I keep telling you all and us about these billionaires and these millionaires and what the ones who are interlinked into this establishment have to do in order to maintain their riches. I mean, we'll talk about that in another show. But you're right on point, brother, talking about this U.S. bioweapons lab. Brother Aleem is on point. He's on point with this bioweapons lab and this Bill and Melinda Gates. And that's key. It ain't just Bill Gates. It's Melinda Gates. I keep saying it's the white man. But it's the white woman, too.
Michelle is just as dangerous as an other Negro.
Yeah.
But, brother,
yeah,
I
want to
make that happen because, that's something I already like to work out because that seems like something that's very feasible at this point in time. I respect the Republic of New Africa, but from my study from them and my correspondence with some of the members, they trying to go the legal route of separation as far as, a plebiscite and on the UN. But I don't see that's going to happen no point in time because you can do that. You can declare yourself an independent nation. You must get a recognition from another sovereign nation. But if the country of your origin does not recognize that, you're not sovereign. But the red man in America, he has some level of sovereignty to land. We got the intelligence. We got the guns. I had Sister Warrior Woman. She always talking about picking up a gun and going for the cracker. But if we can be smart about it, look, we can come together. You got the land. We talking about black power. But you can't have black power without a black land. You the red man, I'm the black man. We brothers. We've been going at this cracker since we've been here. So we might as well do something that's formal and organized and come together at an emergency summit. We playing no games. We come together and we declare officially independence. I recommend in particular certain elders in the black nation, in particular Minister Farrakhan and other well-respected elders who have international connections. So we can have international allies because that's one thing we tripping on. We're a one-leg nation. We don't have no backup. America don't play no game. We got to have international support. But, brother, you can put me in contact with Chairman Emeritus, and we can talk about that more because that's something I really like to do. And, because that's something I see that can really work in this day and time for us.
We're definitely going to involve the Chairman Emeritus in that. We definitely have to involve our national chairman in that and everybody in that. Let's keep building on that, brother. You got my information, I hope. And if not, I'm going to get a number at the end of the show and call me. Let's talk on that sometime this week and start to connect the dots on that because that's very important because I'm keeping up with this. And, there was a case of a woman, I failed to mention this in the beginning, but there was a woman who died of Ebola in the United Kingdom. And based upon her death in the United Kingdom, they're pending or toying with the idea of martial law.
You heard me say that, right?
What was that?
I said, did you hear me say that when I was reading it?
Oh no! I must have been off of the phone. My line clicked off.
Go to brother. I know you on Twitter. Go to Dr. Abdulaleem Shabar, brother Abdulaleem Muhammad on Twitter page, and he got it on there. He got all this stuff connected. But brother, definitely link up with me. You can say my name, brother, because it's something I definitely want to work on or whatever. I'm definitely going to Africa. Don't let the white man scare you. Not going back home. They already got the cure of it. They never make anything. They don't know they ain't going to have the cure for it. So don't get these vaccinations because the cracker, all they're going to do is immune you to it. That's all it is.
That's right.
Like when you get bit by a snake, all they do is give you more poison to immune you for the poison. So they numb you up. But, brother, call me, man. Something I definitely, because I had ideas about this a couple of months back, but I ain't, you know, but Chairman Emeritus brought it up. And I say, shoot, I was thinking about it. I say, this may be actually possible. They have the land. Nah. We got the knowledge and the guns. We can go there.
We must do that, brother. And separation is the best and only solution. So we must do that. Like I said, get the number at the end of the show and give me a call. We can bid on that as early as tomorrow, and go forward.
That has to happen all
across the country.
You heard me, brother. You gonna save my number? You gonna call me? Because I don't have
your
number.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Take it. I'm gonna get it from the control, and call you as early as tomorrow. Me and you talk tomorrow.
All right, black man. I appreciate it, brother. Because I'm excited. A lot of people is boom and boom. I'm excited. This was the fall of America. I can't wait.
this is what all of our ancestors prayed for. I mean, all of our ancestors prayed for. The destruction of our enemies and the empire. It's got to go through some things to get to it, brother. So let's wrap on that summit tomorrow and put the nuts and bolts and start putting the nuts and bolts and pieces together that and bring our people together and put the solutions out there as well, black man. Appreciate you.
All right, my brother. Peace.
All right, peace and black power.
Black power.
That's solutionary right there. That's solutionary. Yeah, I didn't hear that piece, but I'm glad that he talked about that. What's happening in the UK? You got to also mention here that the official Ebola figures are inflated. I want to be clear, they are, from what I'm understanding, inflated figures, and they're also saying that Ebola is hard to get. Says the CDC. It gives lie to the media's claim that Ebola is as infectious as the flu. So you got to understand we're dealing with some tricky devils here, some tricky bastards here. On one hand, they're saying it's hard to get. The other hand, they're saying it's as infectious as the flu. Sierra Leone had declared martial law over the Ebola. The World Health Organization exploited that man Sawyer's death. See who was on the flight, they're saying. Who was on his flight path? Healthy people, they're saying, can be quarantined if Ebola hits the U.S. Talks of abusive powers. International health regulations to be challenged in U.S. courts. Excuse me. Challenged in the courts, entered by force in the U.S. in July 2007, no vote in Congress or Senate. So much going on. New York City held a surprise emergency drill on Friday, largest ever biological attack. U.S. government patent the Ebola virus. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying and what we're saying. New Black Panther Party, a patent on the Ebola, just like it's a patent on AIDS. And I think the man's name was Richard Gallo or Galileo, patent on the bad boy, which means there's a patent on the cure. It means there's a capitalistic money-making scheme behind it. Going back to what I read you earlier about the World Bank, my brother and our brother here saying about Bill Gates, money involved in your death. They are planning to get paid off of killing black people. You think I'm not going to organize and we ain't going to organize a national and international summit for the protection of our people? Defensive mechanism for the protection of our people? Let me go back to the to the phone line here. Area code 504-432. 504-432, you're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about protecting our people from these little good bastards. Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, all power to black people, Brother Sean.
Black Power, my brother, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Brother Sean. I'm going to say this, in these hospitals and stuff, I do not trust these goddamn bastards, these no good bastards. I do not trust them. I feel in this revolutionary movement, we need to have some revolutionary doctors. I mean, they don't have to be a part of the new Black Panther Party, but at least, you know, let's go in these communities and try to educate our people about health. Let's educate them, because we bring them to these hospitals, they're going to kill. They're killing us. They are killing us. And also, I didn't know in the original Black Panther Party, they had doctors that was in the movement, that was working along with them. I didn't know that. I didn't know all these clinics that we see, that came from the original party. So we can learn something from them.
Every revolutionary formation has medical either facilities or medical staff within the cadre. You know, my mind immediately goes to Ernesto Che Guevara, who was a physician who, before he became a commander, led his particular side of the platoon. He was the medic. He was treating the soldiers, the Cuban soldiers and African Cubans who were in the battle against Batista. And same thing in Chavez, same thing with Gaddafi, same thing with others, Thomas Sankara. They all have medical people. Matulu Shakur, who was treating people with acupuncture and herbs and other things. I mean, and shouts out to the doc who goes up for parole within the next 2 weeks, really less than 2 weeks. He goes up for parole hearing in less than 2 weeks. And in less than 2 weeks, well, we will see if Dr. Matulu Shakur will be able to touch the streets. And blessings to him and our support to him. We want to see him free. But definitely, it is important to have, brother, medical contention, medical staff, medical revolutionaries who will treat us, who can deal, and who know what to do. And if you don't have it, let me say this, important to produce it. If you don't have it, it's important to get people that will study health, alternative health. And we'll study how to deal with chemicals and biological compounds, what to do with radiation, and what to do with other kind of substances. We gotta really get on it, Brother Harold.
Oh, yes, Brother Sean, because we need some revolutionary doctors. We do.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do.
I think, like I said earlier, brother, that if we would focus on health self-defense, I mean, I know we get heavy into martial arts, we get heavy into the gun range, we get heavy into some stuff, I mean, in the new Black Panther Party and other formations, but we got to get into health and getting our bodies in top physical condition, top mental condition, top spiritual condition. Got to be doing some training. Got to be doing some working out. Got to be hydrated. The melanin got to be right. Alkaline in the body got to be right. I mean, some serious stuff going on. So it goes back to us preparing our people and preparing ourselves and not talking about it but being about it.
Well, yes, sir, brother. Oh, yeah, you got to be about it. That's one of my main goals, trying to see if I can get across some revolutionary doctors who not afraid. Each week we go into communities. I mean, once a month we go into community and we try to educate our people about their health.
That's right. Well, let's make it happen, brother. That's what I'm gonna tell you. Let's make it happen and put the word out. We're gonna have some proper propaganda out here in the next few days. You know, recruiting some revolutionary doctors like you suggested, and getting some people to help us with these free medical clinics, and a lot that we need to do very fast, even if it's just in a crude guerrilla way. But we got to have it ASAP, because This stuff is coming down the pike very fast. And anybody that's not prepared is going to get left behind. That's me, that's you, that's anybody. So let's be those who's prepared and who's ready.
All right, Brother Sean. I know you got other callers on the line, but black power, all power to black people.
All right, brother. Black power, power to our people. Black power, brother.
All right,
next caller here with area code 323-892. 323-892, you're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the depopulation plans for black people and what we must do about it to be saved. Welcome, Black Power.
Thank you. Hi, Brother Sean. This is Ebony Jones. How are you?
Doing fine, my sister. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I wanted to get your feedback. I know we responded back and forth on Facebook, and I wanted to get your feedback and your thoughts on the cure. You know, they're talking about this vaccine that they said wasn't going to be available from 2 to 6 years. Now all of a sudden it's going to be available and tested as of September, and I think they're calling it the ZMAP. What is your take on this? Because it's funny that it took two white Americans to actually get this disease and now get the CIRM and they're doing well. And then also, there's also been a case they're saying in New York there might be Ebola, but they'll know the results within tomorrow.
No doubt about it. As I was saying, there's more cases that are unreported all across the country. And then when you fly an infected patient from one spot to another spot, that was previously quote-unquote uninfected, that makes the spreading, or it makes the potential for spreading higher. This drug that they're saying that they're treating this Bradley with, and this Reitbold, Nancy Reitbold, I believe her name was, with, I mean,
right.
This stuff been out. You know, like I said a second ago, they have a patent. There is a federal patent on the Ebola virus. So whenever they have a patent, you automatically know. Just that you already know they have the cure for it. I mean, that just goes hand in hand. They don't. As we said earlier, they don't make one thing without making the other thing. You don't get the peanut butter without the jelly. So it's just a matter of capitalism in this instance. It's a matter of dealing with the elites, who has the money to pay for the cure, who has the money and the connections, and it's a matter of depopulation. Some of our people, unfortunately, and others, won't have the access to the cure. And so that's why it's important and why I'm stressing to us to monitor our dietary and to build up our immune system and our defenses. Immune system is properly called a defense system. I know they call it immune, but it's properly a defense system. And the defense system of the body is able to deal with whatever comes at it, even Ebola. It really, when you understand the way Ebola works, it's not
right.
Medicine that fights off the virus. It's the body itself that fights it off. Only thing the medicine can do, that their kind of medicine does, is either suppress the symptoms, or if it's some kind of nutrient, strengthen the body and strengthen the physicality of the patient. But the body itself is what rids the body or the survivability factor of the Ebola virus. That's very important and very key in the discussion tonight. So your body and my body, our physical bodies are designed to defeat Ebola. And as I just said 10 minutes ago, Ebola is not as easy to get as what's being reported in the media. That's a scare tactic. You're not just going
to There's so many stories out there about it, so many stories about how to get it that are, like you said earlier, they seem to be, depending on who's telling the story, how to get it.
Yep.
Find it very interesting how, like you said, the doctor, now I think what the second person in Nigeria is a doctor, so another doctor
right.
has a disease, and now they're saying three more people, correct, in Nigeria are getting tested now.
That's right. That's exactly what's going on. It's again, it's a depopulation effort. They're saying for the West Africans, they're claiming that the virus is being spread through the water, which is very serious, because again, as I say, when you look at what's happening in Ohio with the chemical poisoning, the blatant chemical poisoning of the water in Ohio, which all is connected. I don't want it to be at all, in the blank or in the blind. That water system, the waterways of America are connected. The treatment plants, all of that It's connected together. And all it takes is for some devious devil to put this or that in the water or run some kind of test in the water, and then you and me and us who got it who drink that kind of water. So that's what I'm saying. It's important to take precautions. There's chemicals in the water, more so than fluoride, and it's an outbreak right now in a cold red situation in Ohio. They're claiming it's off. They're claiming the water's pure, but that was just a day or two ago. So it's impossible. No way that water is pure and purified within a two-day situation that caused a national break in Cincinnati, Toledo, Columbus. Impossible. So what I'm saying is be careful in the water that we're drinking, and let's take the precaution to purify whatever water that we have, whether it's boiling it or whatever, if you got some purification tablets, all of that stuff. We got to get into a real military mode with a real soldier mentality and take it real serious.
Well, people have to realize that this is nothing new. You know, like you said, Ebola is nothing new. I've been to Nigeria back in May, and people were dying in the neighboring countries, and no one paid attention. No one paid attention to the two white folks got sick. And now it's this whole big, what do we do, you know? And, people just have to realize that this is something. It was okay when the black folks were dying. But when the two white folks got it, it became a situation. It became a red alert.
That's right.
So thank you, brother.
Thank you, sister. Stay vigilant. Spread the word. We plan to launch an international counteroffensive. And as you heard us say, putting the bolts and the nuts together, the nuts and the bolts of the situation together with people like yourself. And brothers and sisters who know what's happening, so you're going to be a very key component in this, and others will. So stay tuned with us, because we cannot lay down and die while people like Bill Gates and others get rich off our suffering. That will not happen.
That's correct. Well, definitely, I'd love to follow you on about the summit. I think you were discussing a possible summit, so I'd definitely love to get information, and I'll shoot you over my contact. But I think it's very important that, we as a people come together and wake up, because, again, this is nothing new. It's okay. It was okay when the black folks were dying. Like I said, I was in Nigeria back in May, and, that disease was still going around, and it didn't become an awareness or a red alert until two white folks got it. Even the third person who died, the black guy who went into Nigeria, no one has even talked about him.
That's right. Not at all. Not even a media bleep, nothing.
No. They just buried him, cremated him, and moved on.
And that's important. See, but there's no sensationalism with that. You see what I'm saying? Like this Patrick Sawyer fella, they even questioned whether he even had Ebola in the first place. They wondered if he was the victim of a toxic attack. They're looking at the water that he drunk. They're saying that when he got on the plane, he didn't have any symptoms at all. He didn't have nothing.
Wow.
And then so when he took flight, the flight was only 2 hours and 40 minutes to Lagos with one stopover, and he became sick. Somebody had diarrhea, vomiting, and this, that, and the third. So, when you study Ebola, when it's present, you know what I mean? And you know when you got it, So all this stuff is being sensationalized, and it's being used to make the panic and spread the panic. And what that does is make people say, okay, give me the medicine, give me the cure, give me this, give me that, without questioning what you're being given.
I think that they're making it America's now going to be ruling Africa in a minute, because Africa's going to become very dependent upon America. I just read another article in regards to Uganda. Uganda and Nigeria had a bill against homosexuality, and Uganda said that now that they're going to remove that bill, that anti-homosexuality bill, so that they can still continue to get funding from America. So America's definitely playing a big part in how Africa's running. It's appearing that way.
That's right. That's right. They took a stance. America took a stance against that president for his homosexual stance, which I supported, the new Black Panther Party supported. And it's just awful funny now how him and others in that region are under attack. I mean, it's just It's not coincidental. No coincidence
right.
at all.
And I wonder what Nigeria is going to do now, because I know Uganda has removed their bill. So I'm very interested in seeing what Nigeria's take will be now, since they're getting more dependent upon America's assistance and help.
We'll see. I hope that they and others don't buckle. You know, I hope that they take the spirit that Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe has of a no compromise spirit. And that's a word to everybody in Africa, all the leadership in Africa that will hear this. You got to take a no compromise spirit right now, and period, against
right.
U.S. aggression and U.S. fascism, and these offers that are coming from the World Health Organization and other places, because they are poisoning us over there, poisoning our
mm-hmm.
people. I mean, it's clear. It's clear. And even sister, even in Mexico, if you can take your mind back to that, if you knew about that, when this whole
right.
swine flu pandemic was going around, you know, and they were spreading this quote unquote swine flu toxin around to make this pandemic amongst the people, and people in Mexico City were falling ill from poisoning, but there was no swine flu. I want to be clear what I'm saying. It was
right.
no swine flu. This was around 2009 in Mexico City. President Obama, everybody went all over there. It was reported they were in no danger from swine flu, nobody with them in danger. But yet the media was saying swine flu was killing people all around Mexico City, but people were being poisoned. And within a day or so, the World Health Organization began to advocate a what's called an SHOC rule, preparation for a pandemic level 6 emergency declaration. That's within a day or so of a death of a guy named Felipe Solis. His name, Felipe Solis. All this is on record. My point is that they use this media to drum up fear. They use CNN,
right.
they use MSNBC, they use Fox News, they use these outlets to drum up all this fear. And the people who are unaware of the modus operandi of the governmental forces and the tentacles and all that, they accepted hook, line, and sinker on face value. And so it's up to people like us to get the word out and to present an alternative. Because, like I said, we know about the Tuskegee experiments. We know about them putting smallpox
right.
in the blankets. We know about that because we can look back in history. We got to deal with what's happening right now in our faces, to Ebony, and it's happening in our face.
Well, I appreciate all the work that you're doing and getting the word out. And, you know, I definitely wanted to call in and touch base with you on this issue because it is getting to be a very hot topic. You know, me having family in Nigeria, I definitely, you know, am concerned about the epidemic and, you know, hope that, you know, I just pray and hope for the continent of Africa right now. So thank you again.
No, thank you, Sister Ebony, and like I said, keep in touch. Let's work together.
Okay, sounds good. Have a good evening.
All right. Black Power, you do the same. Do the same. Sister Ebony Jones checking in and keeping it real. She's been on top of what's happening, man, and she knows we need people like that to stay on top of it, because all of us are not asleep. And those of us who are not asleep, well, we got to roar like some real panthers out there. You got to roar like a lion. And the Leos, you got to roar, period, out there and organize. That's the name of the game, roar and organize. Let me take another call here. Area code 646-204. You're on live with Black Power Radio with me. We're talking about the depopulation plan for black people all across the world, starting right there in Africa. Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean Kwali. This is Hebel, Acting Minister of Defense of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, the Brooklyn chapter. And I want to call out
Black
to
Power.
All, Black Power, Brother, I want to call out to all the brothers and the sisters who have the title in the New Black Panther Party as a Minister of Defense. What we have to do is we have to start buckling down, and we have to start reading things like bioterrorism and getting more of our chapters protected against these type of viruses and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what we also need to do is you're right. We need to take care of ourselves and make sure that we know everything that we can about how we get attacked biologically, chemically, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and plus, I really don't have no sympathy for Africa because Africa has sold us out now. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of the times they allow other nationalities to go into Africa and do the things that brown-skinned nationalists or black nationalists here has the same training and skill to do. So, you know, if you lay in bed with the devil, you're going to get what the devil gives you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just want you to clarify your statement because we will always have sympathy for Africa as our people, African people. We'll have to have sympathy necessarily for the sellout leaders and the sellout leadership who allows this type of thing to happen on the mother continent. That's a big difference. There's a big difference between the sellout bootlicking, buck dancing Negroes and leadership on the mother continent of Africa. This is the African people who we descend from and who lead to us as Pan-Africanists. So we got to clarify that statement, but I made it for me.
Chief of Staff, Sean Kwali, the reason why I say what I say is because, number one, a lot of the leadership in the motherland, when they take on leadership, they go and they get educated in England and a lot of the places where, you know, there's a lot of European presence. Number two is when you take on the title, when you take on the title of presidency, that is a European title. Africa's never had presidents. They've always had kings, queens, rulers, sultans, emirs, chieftains, and pharaohs. So I think a lot of the leadership in Africa know what they're doing. The peacekeepers there's been a lot of complaints about Africans that the peacekeepers have brought a lot of those viruses and diseases there. On top of that, what we also have to recognize is that, just like I said, when you was talking about we have to deal with the naturopathic and the homeopathic brothers and sisters among us, yes, that's absolutely right and true. But we also have to take concern about people in other places and try to establish our knowledge, our wisdom, and our understanding in those places. You know, we focus a lot of things here that people be singing to the choir with already. And a lot of people other places need this information too. You know, we've been here almost 100. Yes.
I said there's no doubt about that.
Right. We've been here almost 149 years since 1865. And, you know, we haven't made any type of real strides for us to be able to, maybe outside of a few groups, separate, which the other caller was saying that we really actually need to do is to separate. You know, but even that is not working anymore because we got too many sellouts among us. Too many.
I think we're saying the same thing, Brother Hebert, but I just want to be revolutionarily distinct when I'm making my distinction against the people of Africa on the continent versus the sellout leadership. That was the way I clarified the statement to the beginning. As I said, there's a difference between the sellout bootlicking leadership that is in certain positions in certain countries in Africa versus our people. People from the mother continent. That's the only clarification that I'm making. I'm not disagreeing with you in saying that there are forces in Africa which have sold our people out that should be removed.
That's right.
We state that on the new Black Panther program in point number three, talking about that even Africa owes reparations to the black man and woman in America. We talk about that. We're clear on that. But I don't want anybody to come away from the broadcast thinking that we don't have sympathy. That's a political term. That we don't have sympathy for our people on the mother continent when our people on the mother continent is what birthed us and connected us to our political variants. And that revolutionary clear understanding. But I'm with you on that. I'm with you on your point.
Okay. But, Brother Sean, right. The leadership there doesn't allow the populace to be educated. And they are the ones who has most of the education there. So, huh?
Brother, I say it depends on where you're talking. You can't state that as a broad brush in terms of Africa, because Africa is not a country, it's a continent.
I recognize that as a continent. But if you would ask some Africans here in New York, and you would ask them how many countries in Africa has been affected by westernization, out of the 52, they would say close to about 49 of them.
It depends on what they consider education, because I done met a whole bunch of Africans in New York, and some of the brothers and sisters from the what we call the continental African, have sold their value or left their value for the capitalistic gains of America. Others have maintained their value. Maintain the history of maintaining tradition. I'm not gonna take a broad statement in terms of Africa, but it will be succinct in terms of what we're talking about. There are certain leaders that have run riot and taken the office of America and England and other areas, which are not to the benefit of our people there on the mother continent. So again, I gotta take another call, but I thank you so much, Brother Bell, for your words, and it is true. Like I say, that there are many that must be uprooted from the mother continent of Africa. Must be uprooted. And like I say, we're clear as a program. Even Africa owes the black man and black woman in America reparations. But we cannot say that everybody on the mother continent, just because you're African, is uneducated, that we cannot say that they all have sold out. Can't say that, because you got some strong fighters. As we're going there, by the grace of the God of our people and the ancestors, that we're going there next year. Once again, we'll be there with the Pan-African Congress of Azani and APLA, the Azanian People's Liberation Army, which is like the Black Liberation Army from the 70s here. And we'll be there with them as a party, and we hope that you, Brother Habel, and others travel with us back home so that you can see strong brothers and sisters who haven't sold out and who haven't punked out and who have not taken capitalistic gains and strides from America and taken the values of white America as their own. You got to see this for yourself. Can't watch it on National Geographic and can't read about it in no book and can't judge it based upon supermarket or some old continental Africans that have come into the diaspora. Got to judge it live and in person. Let me take another call here. Area code 469-274-469-274. You're on live. Black Power Radio. We're talking about the depopulization of the black man and black woman here in America and throughout the world. Talk to me. What can we do? What's your thoughts on it? What's the plan? Welcome, Black Power. Four 469-274. Question or comment?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Brother Sean. How are you?
Hey, fine. How you doing?
I'm good. My name is April. I'm calling from Cedar Hill, Texas. I have a few questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. My first question is, if Bill Gates and others are getting paid off our demise, does that mean that we are still their property?
Absolutely.
You said that they're getting paid off our debt.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
They still own us as if we're slaves.
Absolutely. That's in the that's in several places, but that's actually an amendment or a part of the Constitution. I think it's the 14th Amendment, maybe the 13th. I'm not clear. I got to get my facts tonight. But one of those talk about that when you have a people who are incarcerated, you know, in the prison industrial complex, that your rights are basically, I'm paraphrasing, vacated, that you become the property or, you know, you become the possession of the state. So that's why, for example, in the prison industrial complex, you got companies like Walmart, you got companies like Sears, you got companies that are having things manufactured in prison, and they're getting paid like 5 cents, 10 cents, 15 cents. Then you got license plates being developed. The other things that are being that are happening right there in prison, because it is in that particular amendment that, you know, you become their property. On a economic front or economic wise, that's just straight up blood sucking capitalism. Capitalism looks at, you know, people like numbers and like figures. And so, you know, when you have a people who need something, what you call supply and demand of America, or anywhere where capitalism is, supply and demand, you have those who exploit the supply to get the demand, basically. So, in other words, if I present you with a virus, and I know that you need me for the cure, you need me for medicine, right? Not the cure, but definitely for the medicine. You need me for the medicine. And I'm going to overcharge for the medicine to suppress the symptoms but not cure you, so that you can keep coming back to me over and over again and keep paying me and making me rich and make the pharmaceutical companies rich. Same thing they do with diabetes. They know diabetes can be cured. Diabetes can be cured. They know other ailments of our people can be cured. But the pharmaceutical companies, the medical manufacturing companies, the healthcare organizations of America continue to feed our people certain prescription drugs from the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, and other parts that allow them to continuously get paid off of the suffering of black people and other people. I'm concerned about my people, so I'm saying black people. Continuously paying them over and over, making them rich, making them millions and billions of dollars every year on things that they know that they can cure. They know there's a cure for HIV and AIDS. They know this. I'm telling you, it's patent. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Take my word, like everything I'm saying, I'm lying. I'm just trying to say some hype. I'm just, you know, some conspiracy nut or whatever. Take it like that and look it up for yourself. Look up, is there a patent on HIV and AIDS? Look up, is there a patent on Ebola? Look up, you know, the cures for these diseases like diabetes. Look up Dr. Sabi, for example, out of Honduras in California. He was proven in, I think it was the New York Times or one of them papers, to not be a quack, but to cure HIV and AIDS and syphilis and other things. But you go to the hospital right now with any of these ailments, and they'll charge you all kinds of money for medicines that, quote-unquote, medicines that just suppress the symptoms. AZT, which was the drug that was given for people who suffered with AIDS, for example, is a toxic drug that does you worse than the so-called virus of the AIDS does. This AZT, which kills the people, which is like radiation in a pill, they're charging all kind of money for because they're getting rich. So to answer your question, sorry to be so long-winded on it, but to answer your question, absolutely, Bill Gates and other billionaire capitalists like him see us as figures and see us like property. It's a okay. New age slavery. It's
so
new age slavery. Now,
so you're saying we're pretty much a stock then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
In their eyes.
With that
absolutely.
Being said, how can we come from under this curve? Should we stop defining ourselves by who they told us we are, like blacks, which is a color, not a nationality? We don't know our true nationality. We know ourselves as a color. There's only two people on the face of the earth that call themselves a color. That's blacks and whites. Blacks being the blacks in America. We don't know our nationality.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how you define it. I don't want to cut you up. It just depends on how you define it, because you got to look at it like that. I understand that from the Morris perspective and other perspectives on the way that the Webster or Black Law Dictionary defines black as being deaf and being something evil and wicked. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I understand about America being a corporation and not a country, in order to have certain sovereign rights, you have to declare a nationality in order to be able to practice certain principalities and mobilities. I get all of that. I just wanted to caution us clearly that black is not defined by Webster or defined by Black Law Dictionary according to our people. You know, for example, I'm going to give you a biological and scientific example since we're talking about biological warfare. For example, you know, what gives us our hue, as we're called humans or humans, man and woman, that's that melanin. When you look at the biomolecular structure of melanin within you and me and anybody who has it, when you look at it, that color itself is black. It's a black. It's a blackness. When you look out into the space and look at the material darkness of space, that is a blackness. And that is the root and essence of what life comes from. You see what I'm saying? So from that particular biological standpoint, black is a producer of life, but defined under white law and defined under white power and the white supremacy, black means death. Because everywhere that they went trying to produce a white power and a white supremacy and a white structure, they saw black, and that black to them meant death, so they defined it as death, and that's how they define it in America today. So that's the political revolutionary overtone with it. But I mean, I'm with anybody, whether you Moorish or what have you, because we are all of that and then some. To declare nationality and to be able to extract and separate from this system, from this society, and from this beast. And if you got to use it under the label of war, use it under the label of indigenous or what have you, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Believe me. Your next question. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You pretty much answered. I was going to say, should we all declare ourselves as sovereign citizens? Because I have a relative that did that, declared himself as a sovereign citizen, changed his name and everything.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's good. I hope it works for him. What I would like to all brothers and sisters do in declaring nationality is make a separate state, nationhood. Again, nationalism. Got to make a separate state and territory. Two things. If I can get anybody who declares nationality to do, separate number one, which is to do like the Republic of New Africa, the Nation of Islam, the Moorish Science Temple, the New Black Panther Party, the Honorable Marcus Messiah, God of the UNIA, what we all have declared to do, which is to separate and make a state of territory of our own, independent of America, and run by black laws for our people, our people's own laws, whether it's Maya or what have you. And then the second thing would be to work on freeing political prisoners. Those two things, if we can accomplish those two tasks, nationhood, separate territory of our own, and the freedom of our political prisoners, we would make major headway, really overnight. But I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in a particular movement in terms of a serious separation. I've seen the declaration, you know, like the Declaration of Independence, for example. I've seen the declaration, people saying, I'm not with it, I'm this, I'm that. Like you have another group that says we're descendants of American slaves. They're called the DASC, descendants of American slaves, and they have decided to separate themselves as descendants of American slaves, calling themselves a new phenomenon, you know. I've seen that. I've seen the Moorish Science Temple of America, and they say we're not black, we're not Africans, we're Moorish, you know. And we declare our nationality that way and have a nationality card, and some have their own license tags, and some have their own driver's license. I've seen all of that. And all of that's good. Nothing negative to say against any of that. That's every black man or woman or every original man or woman's right to do that. But where I make a revolutionary criticism is that there's not enough talk of separation, complete separation from the beast. There's not enough organizing on complete separation. And then there's not enough work for political prisoners and people that are locked down in the concentration camps of America, the so-called jails of America, for freedom. Because if we can declare our own nationality like that, then we should be able to say automatically and based upon my nationality and based upon my stance, the way that you have judged me according to your laws is criminal, corrupt, and negligent. And based upon such and such a stance, such and such a court, such and such a statute, demand that freedom. That's what we should be able to do. If we can't do that, we're falling short, my sister. You wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The sad thing about that is I work in that field. I'm in that environment on a daily basis. And I know,
uh-huh.
like, when you were talking about the how they have their own license plate, the those sovereign people, we would actually
mm-hmm.
get a bolo come through our detail telling us where these people are, where they're driving. And I'm like, and I look at them like, okay, what's the big deal? What are they breaking any laws? Is there a crime being committed? That's my thing, my take on that. I mean, why are you warning us about these people? We're constantly singled out. Once we separate from them, then we become like the enemy. We're constantly watched. That's
Absolutely.
One reason why I haven't changed my name, why I haven't went to that, because I probably would lose my job. I'm pretty sure I probably would, because
mm-hmm.
I would be considered
mm-hmm.
a threat at that point, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not. My mindset is not where they want it to be.
Right.
And I struggle every day that I go to work. I struggle because I really, that's not really where I am. I've been in the field for 10 years, and I'm just not there anymore. It's like I've outgrown it. I'm on to something different. But I just, it's like
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to pull myself out of it financially and, you know, go on to do something else. I guess it's just, you have to be a risk taker.
Yeah, well, that's you know, my sister, that's where a lot of our people are. You know what I mean? Where we really want to be free. I mean, I'm talking in name and deed and everything, but we're scared
mm-hmm.
to make the economic
right.
severance. You see what I'm saying? Because you're talking about health care pays and talking about food, clothing, and shelter, and all of that. And what I would say is, you know, it's the same thing that happened to our family ancestors who once emancipated, not free, but emancipated, were left on the plantation, were not given the direction or instructions on how to build for themselves after building this country as a people for over 400 years or 300 plus years. You know, that information, that tradition had been lost. As we were not allowed to read, not allowed to speak in our languages. I mean, I'm sure you know that history. And so the tradition of nationhood and nation building had been lost, and the tradition of independence had been lost from us. And so once we were emancipated, it was like, well, what do we do now? You know, now that there's no taskmaster on us, making us work the cotton fields, making us work the tobacco fields, making us, you know, work the cotton gin and do other things, what do we do now? So that's where we find ourselves in 2014. Like, if I don't work the job, you know, if I decide to be strong and be bold and stand on my own 2 feet and be the black man or black woman I'm supposed to be, what will happen to me? That's a natural fear. But I would say to you, in us, the same thing that the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey would say, or the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad would say, or an Honorable Minister Malcolm X would say, or that great Queen Yaa Santi, or any of them would say to you, I would say, have no fear. I would
right.
say, have no fear. Because the same mathematics that it takes to equal up to the paycheck is the same mathematics that you could provide and do for yourself. It may be a slow process. I'm not telling you to go in there tomorrow and quit your job. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying,
yeah.
have you a plan? I'm saying,
right.
just like the slave who had a stillaway plan, a plan to eventually break away, have you and me and us, we got to have a plan. Have you a plan, an exodus plan, on how we can sustain ourselves? Yes,
I
ma'am.
I have one. I just need to focus my energy toward it.
Okay.
I'm not putting any energy toward it. That's the only thing, because I'd have to go back to school, and I'd have to find somewhere. You know, I want to do natural hair. That's my passion, doing natural hair, getting other black women to go natural and stop permanent hair. That is like a passion of mine, because I feel like the chemicals that they put on their hair, that's why a lot of black women have like these cancers and tumors and
right.
cysts and all these
that's
different
right.
things on their body that other women on the planet don't have. And it has to be that. That's the only thing I can see that we do, or we do to our bodies that no other woman does, and we have way more than they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's got
that's
to be
right.
That's the only thing I can think of. It has to be it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could focus on my interest toward doing that, I know I could find a shop or eventually get, you know, build my own shop. I just have to take my focus off trying to make this money that I'm so comfortable with making that's already there and put it toward doing something different. I have to build a name for myself. It's going to be a lot of work, I know.
Find you some examples of some people that have already done it. You know, tonight or whenever you get a moment, read you some Marcus Garvey. Get heavy into Marcus Garvey. You know, and I say honor Marcus Garvey because he was really the prototype of black independence on this soil. You know, in terms of steamline ships, banks, businesses, agriculture, he had it. You know, and so read Garvey. If you don't have that book, it's called The Writings and Sayings of Marcus Mosiah Garvey, compiled by his wife, Sister Amy Garvey, I believe. Get that, or it's online. Get it as a PDF, but read it. Or get online and just Google him. Google some of his stuff. I'm telling you, it will feed your soul. And as you begin to work your exit plan, you know, step by step, even if you have to go back to school or make you a small step here or a small step there, it will encourage you and push you towards your goal because eventually, sister, as you wake up and come into your own and come into yourself, you're going to feel more and more uncomfortable on your job anyway. You're going to feel restrained, constrained, and everything
else. It's already there. It's already there. I feel like it's messing with my well-being. The job and the people there are such on a low frequency. There's got to be there on a low frequency because anytime I go around them, it just does something to me, and I don't like the way it feels.
Uh-huh. That's because your consciousness is awakening and arising, and you're seeing things for what it is. But, you know, while you're in there, you play the spook, quote unquote, who sat behind the door. You know, you'd be like Sam Greenlee's books, sit by the door and look out for our people. You know what I mean? Like you said,
nope,
you've seen some
me.
of the information on the boards and others. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They call me combative. They call me aggressive. You're too outspoken. I'm like, none of that makes sense to me. Am I supposed to just shut up and let whatever happen? If something's happened that I don't agree with, of course I'm going to speak out on it. I'm not going to just stand by and be quiet and let you just run all over me. So I'm called combative. I'm like, combative means that I'm ready to fight. I've not once been ready to fight anybody in here physically.
Right, right. They call you combative because they know you don't conform. So they already know it's something about you.
Okay.
They already know it. They already have you picked out. They've been doing this. The system has been doing this for a long time. These Caucasian people and the Negroes in power have been doing this for a long time. They already know what to look for. They know what to look for in the rebellious spirit, the rebellious ones. So they know it's something about you. They may have not put their finger on it yet, but believe me, there's a file about you somewhere or an email about you somewhere in somebody's computer, and that's good. So all you got to do, sister, is just wait out your time, you know, buy your time. And work your plan. And like I say, while you're in there, do the best that you can. Don't wrong anybody. Do the best that you can. Live by the laws of Maat. But work your exodus plan to, in due time, steal away for yourself and be an independent, free black woman. You'll be much more happy in the end.
Will do, brother. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank my sister. Thank you so much. And stay strong. And stay tuned to Black Power Radio. If there's any way we can be an encouragement to us, to your department, let us know because we plan to be that.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, Black Power. Next call, area code 862-755. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Sean Saddam Kweli. We're talking about the depopulation of Africa and our people. Israel to Palestine. A lot going on. Tell us your thoughts, your questions, your comments on it. Welcome, Black Power. 862-755, your mic's open. All right, moving forward. Air code 562-239. You're on live Black Power Radio. Talk to us. We're talking about the depopulation of Africa, black people, and Israel to Palestine and Obama. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, brother, National Chief of Staff. This is your brother out here on the West Coast, Ali, brother. How are you, brother?
Fine, sir. Black Power. Peace and blessings.
And
how are you,
power,
my brother?
Black Power, all black people. Wonderful, brother. But brother just has some comments, some things to say, brother. I'll just let you know, brother, we have a new sister in the Ministry of Health here in Los Angeles. We're having classes now over on 78th and Western, so everything's looking good. But it's funny, everything you're speaking on tonight, we have a new sister and brother, National Chief of Staff. I've been trying to get her to call in to meet you, brother, but this sister, she has it, brother, spiritually, physically, and knowledge. I mean, she just has it all concerning our health. But anyway, brother, back to everything you've been speaking on, and that sister that just got off with you right now, that sister, I mean, she understands, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're still under white supremacy, brother, and it's as strong as it's ever been. That's why when you were speaking earlier about Africa and why they accepted homosexuality and all this nonsense, it's amazing how a country that can, countries in Africa that can totally sustain itself, has still have to rely on America for anything. All of that soil, brother, is all the oil and everything. They could bid with America. They could have America come in and all the Europeans and bring their money just to get what they have under the soil. So why do they need anything from America? That shows you right there with the madness that's going on. But that sister that called in, brother, she has to understand that this supremacy mindset is still going. And first of all, her as a black woman shouldn't be there anyway. That's the way they look at it. That she has the nerve to stand her ground and have an opinion. This is the mindset of the people we're with. But I suggest to that sister, keep on doing what you do. You just keep being you. And no matter what you say, you're going to be wrong. Because this mindset of white supremacy is still here with us. This is, you know, under white supremacy, black must go. You know, they're going to try to keep us down, brother, as far as they can. And they use the illusion of equality and all that nonsense that they've been teaching for the last 40, 50 years. But, brother, white supremacy is still standing strong. And that's what we're here with Black Power Radio, with the new Black Panther Party. And, brother, the way you're putting it down tonight, we're trying to eliminate that in the minds of our people. But I want to say this right here. I was in the mosque once, and Mr. Farrakhan taught on culling. I don't know if you were there, brother. I know you probably heard of it. But he talked about how old Henry Kissinger, they signed in 1974, you know, in all the populated areas where they're very dark people. And I'm talking about our people. You know what I mean, brother? You're going to have these all of a sudden, these, like you said, here we go with the monkey again. You know, these diseases are popping up, you know, and popping, falling out of the sky, brother. No cure. And every disease is created, there is a cure, you know. But this is a part of this white supremacist madness, the brothers to wipe us off the planet. And it's been in play forever, and it's still going today. You know, brother, but like you said, we have to bring the knowledge to the people, you know. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said yes, sir.
Yeah, so this is, like you said, this is nothing new. And that one sister that called in about what's going on and has been going on in heavily African populated areas, heavy areas of the world, brother, with sicknesses and all this. And, you know, this has been going on for years, brother. Like you said, annihilation of our people, either they're going to kill you or they're going to jail you or they're going to make some kind of money on you some kind of way. But right here in America, brother, I mean, our people are dropping like flies. You know, in our community, they talk about AIDS and talk about this. But this is no accident, brother. This is plain old white supremacy. And it's just as simple as that. And until we eliminate that, brother, and come together as a people, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he said, brother, our unity is like an atomic bomb. We can destroy it like that if we just came together. And I mean, seriously came together. When you wake up in the morning, you thinking about black, and when you go to bed, you thinking about how you're going to free your people, brother. But listen, brother, as your Western Regional Rep, brother, I'm going to be done because I could go on forever concerning this. I'm not telling nothing new. This is an old story. This is old stuff I'm talking, brother. But we do have a new solution, brother, our unity, and it's going to happen very soon. Brother, all black power to all black people, and brother, thank you for everything. Black power.
All right. Black Power, brother, thank you for your words. And those are some strong words. Send our greetings to the sister who's working in the Ministry of Health, and we encourage her to develop and work fast. And she's right on time, but she had to duplicate herself and produce some other colleagues that will help us with these free medical clinics for our people and our people of color. And we're very serious about combating these infectious diseases and these things that can be healed amongst our people. I want to stress the fact that Dr. Ratulu Shakur was treating people who were addicted to drugs with acupuncture. We need some people who can work acupuncture. And again, if other nationalities and cultures have done it, we can do it, and sometimes, and a lot of times, do it better. So let's not rely on anybody else. I want us to rely on ourselves. We have the talent right within our own communities. And I know there's a lot of odds and a lot of opposition, but you got to look past the opposition, look past the odds, and get down into the solution and the real scenario. Get down into it, and let's deal. And so, brother, thank you so much. Good work out there on the West Coast. Continue to push, continue to grow, and continue to organize. This is a serious mission. If anything, tonight, after listening to this broadcast, you can't tell nothing else. You can tell this is a serious mission, and this is not for the chicken-hearted. We are trying to save a people and ourselves, our people, from annihilation. So, Black Power, brother.
Hey, brother, one more thing. I was looking at I have an old Panther tape. It's amazing. I had it on VHS, and there was a brother in the Ministry of Health back in the 60s that was testing our people for sickle cell. And he said that, brother, he said it was very seldom he found anybody with any traces. He said all of a sudden, brother, by 1970, it was all over the place. You know what I'm trying to say? He said, when I get home, I'll get the brother's name. But within the party, brother, we had doctors, we had brothers that were doing wonderful work medically, you know, and trying to treat our people and trying to keep up with what's going on. That's why I said, when that brother said, I don't trust hospitals and pharmaceuticals, I know what he's talking about, because I said the same thing with Planned Parenthood and how they sterilize and they're infecting our people. But that's all back to that one word. It's white supremacy, brother, and that's where it's all going to. But let me say this, brother. That young sister, our health sister's going to be in the Ministry of Health. Her name is Sakura. She's on Facebook.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's good. Well, keep her in the fight. Keep her spirits up. And again, duplicate the Black Panther Party. You know, was able to include medical physicians and other doctors into the movement because they connected them to it. See, they connected them. They connected the health and health care, which is a part of our program, to revolution. And that's very important to tell people. We are not just one-sided talking about armed struggle against the state or something like that, or some myopic or narrow view. We're talking about health of our people. We're talking about being mentally sound. We're talking about being spiritually able. We're talking about being politically savvy. You know, we're talking about raising our children in the best manner, being good parents, being good mothers, being good fathers. We're talking about revolutionizing our society. And when I say our society, I don't mean the structure necessarily of America. I don't mean that. I'm talking about us, our own community. I'm saying revolutionizing us as a people, putting off the old slave ways and picking up our original habits of being a free and independent people. So keep her spirit strong, and keep all the comrades' spirit strong out there. And y'all get on a health regimen. If you don't have a workout plan, work out, jog, train, and get it together.
Brother National Chief of Staff, thank you so much, and Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Very, very important stuff. I just want to say again that it is important that we take this serious. Health self-defense period, but health self-defense period. One man I can refer you to right away is Dr. Sabi. I can refer you to him right away. His number is area code 310-838-2490. Again, 310-838-2490 with Dr. Sadie, who has already healed people of all kinds of diseases, AIDS, HIV, all of that stuff. I mean, just he's a straight-up healer, and he uses natural stuff. Again, you know, again, got to talk to you about some Lila Africa. If you don't know anything about Lila Africa, you got to study Lila Africa and get some Lila Africa in you. He's out there. He's still out there and doing it. You got to study some Elijah Muhammad and know all the way back to the 60s and 70s. He had a book called How to Eat to Live, two books, one and two. Two books. That's not out of season and not out of date. You don't have to be a Muslim in the Nation of Islam to know about how to eat to live and how not to eat to die. Read that. Read about Queen of Four. You know, read this stuff and apply it. Not only read it, but apply it, because it's going to come into play as these diseases and viruses are unleashed on our people and on us through water and through other methods. The National Minister of Information is keen on even crystal energy and crystal healing, if you know about that. You know about the magnetic magnetism powers of the body and the mineral powers of the body. Get into that. Get into those. Get into the African traditions and practices of our people. Get into being an Imhotep in 2014, who did the first open heart surgery ever known to man, and rid the bodies of toxins and chemicals long before Hippocrates took and made a Hippocratic oath. Imhotep, black man, was doing it. No one was a black woman around with that, doing it too. Let's get serious, as we in the new Black Panther Party have to stand in this hour on point number 3 of our 10-point platform, as we're talking about wanting an end to the robbery of the black nation by the capitalists and wanting an end to the capitalistic domination of Africa in all of its forms: imperialism, criminal settler colonialism, neocolonialism, racism, sexism, Zionism, apartheid, and artificial borders. We have to stand on that. We have to stand on point 4. It says we want an end to the trafficking of drugs and the biological and chemical warfare that's targeted at our people. We want quality health care for our black community, housing, land, social, political, and economic institutions that we want made into independent ujamas or new African communal cooperatives so that our community can be for itself. Understand, we want to make our places drug-free, decent, and have the right kind of health care for our people. Study that, point number 3 and point number 4, the new Black Panther Party 10-point platform. We're standing on that, and on those bases, we're making an international campaign, first starting with a national campaign, to organize our people on some real health issues, starting with this biological warfare of Ebola and others that's out here attacking West Africa and other places. It can be combated, but you got to be proactive. That means tonight, if you're going to put something in your mouth that you know you shouldn't put in your mouth or your body, think twice about that. Think twice about the greasy foods. Think twice about the high fructose corn syrup. Think twice about the heavy starches. Think three times, not twice, but think three times about the pork byproducts. You can't leave pork alone altogether because of the trichinosis worm in it that goes into your brain and gets into your bloodstream and causes all kind of issues with you. Look it up. So we're telling you this stuff because we love you, and we're telling you this stuff because we're fighting for you. And we say again, stay strong. Stay committed, stay bold. Stay strong, stay committed, stay bold. Don't give up the fight. And don't look down a narrow path that says it's hopeless. Look towards the same path that Harriet Tubman looked towards. Look toward the same path that Sojourner Truth looked toward. Look toward the same path that Ida B. Wells looked toward. Look toward the same path that Thomas Sankara looked toward. Look toward the same path that all freedom fighters looked toward. That path of freedom. And have a no-compromise spirit. Don't sell out. Don't believe your enemy. Trust in your ancestors and their wisdom. And we'll be all right. Contact me direct. Number 347-903-0886. Again, number 347, and our number 347-903-0886. Drop us a line via an email at either nbpphq@yahoo.com or newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. And our website is newblackpanther.org. We need even more of you to join on to the movement and make these programs a reality. And so call that number again, 347-903-0886, to register with our organization and push for black empowerment, black power amongst our people, and breathe life into the Panther and resist the evils of the devil and the oppressors and those who have nothing but ill intention against our people. You join this movement and build up black areas and black people and black life and watch how we as a people take over. Don't sit on the sidelines and let Bill Gates and others in the World Health Organization destroy our people. You help us build this movement that's sweeping across the nation. And let us pick up our people from the dust of slavery and the dust of colonization and the dust of Jim Crow and shake that dust off and be a new man and a new woman. I thank you for listening. On behalf of our national chairman, General Hashim and Zinger, giving all thanks to those before us, like the attorney at war, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and the Black Power Junior, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, our founding in Dallas, Texas of 1989, and all freedom fighters. Stay strong. We're in a war. We'll leave out with immortal technique, civil war, black power. It's black power for black people. It's power to the people. And remember, if black people are not free, nobody's free.
Killer Mike,
fuck Terminator,
Brother Ali,
fuck Rambo,
no,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah. The ghetto is like a prison with invisible bars. No matter where you at, it always follows you where you are. And it's hard out there for a pimp to get out of, but it's harder for the hooker that he beat the shit out of. I got niggas underground in the Confederate States, ironically running from slavery that prison creates. So I never hate on the South, I respect their vision. I just hate on niggas that promote Samboism and white execs that love to see us in that position. They reflect the stereotypes of America's vision. They want us dancing, cooning and hollering. Only respect us for playing sports and modeling. More than racism, it's stay in your placism. All people are trapped in practical black racism. So fuck a civil war between the North and the South. It's between field niggas and slaves that are stuck in the house.
Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstration overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organization. Trying to survive cultural assassination.
Rip niggas, blood niggas, essays, Asians. Why the fuck we warring with each other's population? The devil wanna dead all our population. People in both nations. Why the separation? Why we got Jamaicans hating on Haitians? When the British and French rape both nations. Mexicans and blacks kill each other straight hating. While the government profits from prison population. If you on the bottom, be you Anglo or Asian. You gotta recognize the realness in what I'm saying. You gotta recognize another G ain't the enemy. When the police ride and kill us frequently, we gotta make the youth see where the truth be. If you achieve it, grow and develop GD. 50 years of gains and our people still poor. If we really run the streets, we should really end war.
Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstration overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the
government organizations trying to survive cultural assassination.
Listen, our hearts were torn apart just like y'all was, watching towers full of souls fall to torture. Every time we called your office, you ignored us. Now you hold a hearing on us all inside of Congress. Microscopes on us, asking we're the hardest. My answer was in line with all of the founding fathers. I think Patrick said it best, give me liberty and death. I shall never accept anything less. You claiming the sins, you play victimless, but you gave the kiss of death in the name of self-defense. Slavery and theft of other nations to the end of pacifying your citizenry with success. We believe in freedom, justice, security, but they're only pure when they're applied universally. So certainly if I raged against the machine, my aim was only to clean the germs out of the circuitry. Urgently putting fear inside your heart, make you burn Qurans and tell me not to build a mosque. Me, my wife and babies, we ain't never made it hard. We just wanna touch our head to the floor and talk to God. Ask him to remove every blemish from our heart. The greatest threat of harm doesn't come from any bomb. The moment you refuse the human rights for just a few, what happens when that view includes you? Civil war.